We are in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Monday, we do the Monday One-on-One presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, if you have something framed and you want it to go up on the wall just the right way, Mo will make house calls. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and their website looks really good. That's revamped. Mo'sGallery.com. They do e-commerce there now on the website. This week's one-on-one interview, we have two of the co-founders of the Tucson Crime-Free Coalition. Josh Jacobson is with us. Josh is a longtime Tucson family businessman, vice president at Arizona Sunland Foods. He and the family own three Lucky Wishbone outlets here in town. Josh is a graduate of the UA. He serves on a Pima County Economics Commission for Small Business, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, and the Arizona Restaurant Association, where he's a board member. Also with us, Monica Carlson. Monica, with a family business for more than 30 years, Carlson Plumbing and Heating. Monica, first of all, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
And Josh, how are you doing? How are things going for the Tucson Crime Free Coalition? Give us a little of the background, how it started, where you are right now, and everything.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'll say, you know, in regards to the rain, either it's going to rain or I'm going to win the Powerball. I'm not sure which is going to happen this week.
But I don't know.
I'm hopeful here.
My confidence level is still kind of low, and I think we will have a record late start. I mean, it will rain, but when? Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go ahead, Josh.
Well, so back to the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. We've been really busy. We're a new organization. We've only been in operation for roughly 10 months. And in the last 10 months, we've developed a coalition that is nonpartisan. It's grassroots. Monica, myself, Kevin Daly, who is another steering leader, and Kevin is a software engineer. We have grown this coalition without a budget, so put away your wallet, Bill. We're not here to ask for money today.
Are you a nonprofit corporation?
We are complete volunteers.
Okay.
We do everything on our own time and our own dime. But the remarkable thing is that we wanted to create a coalition for the community where anybody could join. So it's free to join. TucsonCrimeFree.com is our website address. Mm-hmm. You can enter in your email, and that gets you our once-per-week newsletters. Do not worry, folks. We do not share your emails or sell them. That's proprietary to us. But really, we wanted to start educating the community and bringing the topic to the forefront, the conversation of solutions in regards to the crime and substance abuse that we're seeing in our community, specifically around fentanyl and methamphetamine. So in the last 10 months, we have grown our coalition to over 4,000 members, and we are adding new members every single week.
Monica, tell our listeners a little bit about why you decided to get involved with this.
Well, I decided to get involved because we have a business located on Fort Lowell Road, and we were experiencing a lot of problems that were happening there when we were working and when we were closed, and constantly calling 911. And so I met Josh and Kevin. We were complete strangers before we started this coalition. We got together and started talking and noticed there were a lot of problems happening around the city with a lot of businesses and homeowners experiencing the same thing.
The corner of Fort Lowell and Alvernon is an area that I go by on my way to work. I'm kind of my part of town. I live in the central foothills, so when I come down, I've seen sometimes there's a lot of homeless activity in that wash there. Then other times I'll go by the next day, and it looks like it's cleaned up. Do you guys know specifically what's going on over there?
Well, so first of all, Bill, I want to make a very clear distinction.
Sure.
Our coalition is, we are not trying to solve the overall issue of homelessness.
Okay.
We are very narrowly focused on individuals that are living on the street as a symptom of severe substance abuse. And so when you're talking about seeing people on the side of the road or in the washes, you know, they're transient to a degree unless the encampments start to form, and then that continues to grow. So we've taken a lot of interest in certain encampments. We personally go into the encampments. We talk to the individuals that are there. Mm-hmm. The first thing that we have to do is break down the barrier with them believing that we're law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we can convince them that we're not police, we're not there to arrest them.
It's probably their first thing they say, are you a cop?
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, that is. And I mean, that's what I would think too if I was in their position. Sure. Why are you here?
But yeah.
What's really remarkable is how open and direct people will be when we start asking them questions like, you know, how did you get into this situation? How long have you been living on the streets? What is your substance abuse like? Mm-hmm. What services do you need to get out of this situation?
Right.
And what we hear are all different versions of the same story. And essentially that equates to people are so stuck in the substance abuse cycle that oftentimes they can't see a proactive way out.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when we have law enforcement or the city that goes into the encampments and they post the 72-hour notices to vacate the properties, mm-hmm. you know, the city sends in great teams of people that go in, they offer services.
Mm-hmm.
The very unfortunate part is that generally, nobody accepts the services. The camps are vacated and these folks just continue to move around.
Mm-hmm.
So figuring out how to proactively get people off of the street and out of the substance abuse cycle has been one of our biggest challenges. We know that a lot of the nonprofits in town feel the same way. Many of the nonprofits right now are only operating at 50 to 70% occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of services available for people that are ready to make that lifestyle change. But sadly, again, people are stuck. And so then from our perspective, that's when the use of law enforcement and the enforcement of our laws and accountability come into play.
Esteban Park has mm-hmm. been one of your big success stories, right?
Well, we can't necessarily claim that as a success.
The cleanup over there? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually a bigger story. And the way that we got involved with advocating for Esteban Park was some of the TPD officers were making contact with residents. The residents knew about us, and so TPD officers connected us. And what was really devastating about that area is that encampment continued to grow. It got to be over 80 people. Monica and I were in it right before it was taken down. We did advocate because the homeowners in the area were telling us, we are so scared. We can't let our kids play outside. We are getting stolen from. We have people coming into our homes or into our backyards telling us to get out because they live there. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with mental illness. But ultimately, what it ended up happening is that camp was also right next to the railroad. And a lot of people don't know this. What's been happening with the railroad is people will cut the fence, go onto the railroad tracks. They either get hit by trains or the trains, when they slow down, people will go in between the cars and pop the cables that connect the cars. That stops the train. Hmm. And as the conductors are getting out to look for the issue, the train's getting robbed.
Oh, my goodness.
So that, you know, we advocated publicly, but at the end of the day, the railroad had a big say in it because it was actually their property that encampment was on.
Monica, I want to get back to you. You said there were homeless issues by your business. You called 911. Is 911 the appropriate place now to call? Or what was your experience calling 911?
Well, the experiences we were having weren't really homeless issues. They were people coming into our business, taking off their clothes. One person came in and had a piece of large metal and was trying to get to my husband to throw it at him. So I can't say it's homelessness, but it was people that were clearly
intent on crime.
They come in demanding tinfoil, you know, rolls of tinfoil they want. And we have two female secretaries that work at the front, they're scared to death without us having to lock the doors all the time. And I don't know if 911 is really the place to call for homelessness, but if there's crime and drug use that you see, please report it, even though you know the police officers probably will not be coming. They need the record of people reporting these crimes to them.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, Josh and Monica. When we come back, what the Tucson Crime Free Coalition is really hoping that law enforcement will be doing to solve some of these issues. Let's take a deeper dive into that area, that part of the piece. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. It is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell, and DodgeMoesGallery.com is their website. More with Josh and Monica from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition right after this break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You think we're waiting for rain, all of our friends over at Green Things, including our plant friends, are ready to let out a very collective sigh of relief when we finally get some summer rains. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They've been in business 53 years now, and they are open daily. Their website's greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, if you're looking for some beautiful Talavera pottery, Zocalo Village, their website, zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Each Monday, to start the show, we do what we call now the Monday One-on-One, which replaced a really long-time feature on this program called our Political Face-Off. But quite frankly, I was just tired of talking about politics for a while, and so I came up with a different idea, this one-on-one, which I think has been pretty darn successful, where we take a kind of a deeper dive into an issue that is of utmost importance in our community. In this case today, talking about crime, Tucson Crime Free Coalition, Josh Jacobson, a longtime Tucson family businessman, one of the co-owners, along with Monica Carlson. Monica and her family own Carlson Plumbing and Heating, and Josh and his family have three Lucky Wishbones in town. Lucky Wishbone has been around, Josh, for how long?
Oh, we're pretty new. We were established in 1953. We were the first fast food concept in Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember when I came out here first from the University of Arizona as a freshman back in the mid-60s from Chicago. Boy, Lucky Wishbone was the place to go.
Yep.
And a lot of people still swear by your products.
And, you know, Tucson has been...
they don't swear at them. They swear by it.
Well, you know, there is those days, too, in the restaurant business.
But,
one of our founders, Clyde Buzzard, turns... I won't tell you exactly how old, but he'll be well into his 90s on Christmas Day.
Oh, my
And he's still
goodness.
Very involved with the business. So,
wow.
Thank you, Tucson.
We'll have to bring you back sometime just to talk about the history of Lucky Wishbone.
It is actually a very interesting story.
I'm sure it is. But let's hear about the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. What about how close are we to putting a dent in our crime situation? And how do you view the crime situation, Josh?
Well, again, when we're focused on substance abuse being fentanyl, methamphetamine, you know, you had a great interview with Dylan Smith and Tim Tamuer from the city on Friday.
Yes.
So this is kind of a good follow-up because Dylan made a really good point that, you know, when you're on the street and you've got a substance abuse issue, crime follows, essentially.
Sure.
You got to do whatever you can to get better or to get what it is
support
that you need.
What you need.
Yep, for your habit. So you guys also talked about the pit count, the point in time count, and we took part in that as well. We actually went out and we did the surveying, and you know, some interesting things from that. 68% of the people on the street right now that were surveyed suffer from mental illness, and 80% admitted to having a substance abuse issue. However, when we go out into the different encampments, Monica and I, last time we were in the Estevan Park encampment, people are doing smoking fentanyl out in the open. Mm-hmm. It is it truly was a fentanyl camp. We have a similar issue over at the 100 Acres on Golf Links. So, of course, crime follows when people are trying to get their addiction fixed. So really what we have done is solution-wise, we have elevated this conversation in the community as to where last year people were just complaining about it. Now, that's not good enough. So we've actually started the conversation about solutions. We have multiple layers of solutions. Some of them are easier. People might have seen signage that we were able to get put up in Pima County on the medians.
The panhandling?
Correct. Yeah. We have to understand, you know, Tucson is a very generous and giving community. We're very philanthropic.
Indeed, yeah.
But people need to understand that right now fentanyl is going for $1 a pill on the street.
Ugh.
We talk to individuals that will tell us that they use more than $20 pills per day.
Oh my goodness.
TPD will tell us that they encounter people that use 50 to 60 pills per day.
Mm.
You know, it's the leading killer of youth in our community.
Mm-hmm.
6 out of 10 pills on the street have a lethal dose for a first-time user. And many people probably saw that last year our pedestrian fatalities nearly doubled.
Yes.
As a direct result of fentanyl, methamphetamine being in people's system.
Mm.
This is a huge issue. We are ground zero for the state of Arizona for the opioid crisis. We lead the state in non-fatal opioid overdoses, and we have more fatal opioid overdoses per 100,000 than Maricopa does. So what is it that we're going to do about this, right? Because we've got an issue at the Pima County Jail where it's essentially a revolving door, meaning that, A, we don't have enough officers on the street. You know, it's great that we got the 911 call center staffed, but we still don't have officers to come when the calls come in. Nobody's going to come and help Monica at her business because they are so busy dealing with the most urgent calls.
So what do we do?
So down at the Pima County Jail, the jail is very understaffed as well. And so the revolving door comes in when people are taken to jail and then they're let out nearly immediately. Now, when people are let out, Bill, 30% of individuals that commit a misdemeanor crime are going to commit another crime within the next month, and normally it happens within the next week. The other interesting thing is that 60% of individuals, people are not showing up to their next court hearing after they have their initial appearance at the jail. So when people are released from the jail, they're released without any support or treatment options. And that is a problem for us because, of course, what are they going to do? They're going to go back to doing whatever got them there in the first place. So one of the bigger solutions that we're working on is called the Transition Center. And next to the Pima County Jail, there's a 50,000 square foot building that's been empty for several years. It's the old work release building. And what we have in mind to do there is to bring in many different nonprofit providers and set up a whole host of detox, shelter, nonprofit solutions in support and treatment areas so that we can get people back up on their feet.
What do you need to make that happen?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Bill. Phase one is getting ready to open here just about any day. And I want to say that this project has really moved because we have had great support from Supervisor Sharon Bronson, Supervisor Steve Christie, County Administrator Jan Lesher has been wonderful to work with. But then we have our true workhorse and star of this whole thing, and that is Deputy Administrator Steve Holmes. He has been committed to working with us and finding the solutions to get the project up. So what we have now is the first phase that, as I mentioned, is going to open. It's essentially a modular next to what's called the pretrial building. Inside of that modular, we've got six navigators that have been hired. Navigators are individuals that have, these people have lived experiences. They understand addiction. They understand what people are going through, and they have relationships with all of the different nonprofits. And remember, I mentioned the nonprofits, many are only operating at 50 to 70% occupancy. So our goal is to fill these beds and get the people into the treatments. So the navigators, their job is to make contact with individuals as they're coming out of jail or pretrial services or even coming in off of the street to find out what services that they need so that they can get connected to whether it's La Frontera, Gospel Rescue Mission, any of the different nonprofits that fit your individual needs, because everybody coming through the system has a different set of demographics and a different set of needs. And that is why it's so important to pair them up with the right nonprofit provider.
Monica, you talked about how difficult it is when you're trying to run a business and there's these threats that come through the door. What have you done? I don't know if you can put like some kind of a locking device while you're open at the front door. I mean, that discourages customers, but what can you do?
Well, in our business, my husband is very against locking the doors for customers. We don't have a lot of customers
that
come in.
Point too, yeah.
But people do come down there, you know, for different things. We have cameras set up. We've put a lot of money, probably close to $100,000 in extra security.
Wow.
And cameras and, you know, more walls.
But it's nerve-wracking, isn't it, going to work under those circumstances?
It is. And I will not go down there by myself, you know, on the weekends unless someone else is down there. We used to have our kids work out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
We can't do that anymore because of the needles and feces and everything.
All right. I've only got about a minute, Josh. Why don't you summarize everything and, again, how people become members and the whole deal?
Sure. Well, TucsonCrimeFree.com is our website, And it's very simple. Go to our website. You'll be prompted to enter in your email address. We've got over 4,000 members. A lot of the work that we've been able to do with the county, the electeds, it's really been because we've got so much member participation, and there's a true need, and that has been well received by the county to work on the solutions here.
The city somewhat not as receptive as the county.
we're still trying to build those bridges. Uh-huh. We think that at some point in the near future, we'll be working with Steve Kozacik. I say that because he sent out in his newsletter essentially a statement saying, well, everything the Tucson Crime Free Coalition is advocating for, I've advocated for in the past.
Okay.
So, hey,
there's
great.
Some common ground there.
Yeah,
right?
Let's get it done.
Josh Jacobson and Monica Carlson, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Letting our listeners know about what the work you guys are doing. Tucson Crime Free Coalition, our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our Better Business Bureau Consumer Alert coming up right after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on, should I say, rather warm afternoon. Downright hot. Excessive heat warning and now a dust warning as well. So throw that in for good measure. All right. It is time for our monthly consumer alert presented by one of the finest better business bureaus in the United States, the one we have right here in Tucson. Irene Coppola is with us, president and CEO of the BBB, serving Southern Arizona. And Denise Alvarez is with us, director of operations. And we're going to talk, first of all, ladies, great to see you.
Likewise.
You know, the scammers, they follow the news, and when they hear about, oh gosh, the student loan program is ending, I wonder if there's something we can do here to get some scam action going. So, Irene, how does this scam work?
Yes, actually. So, just like you said, you know, they look to see what's trending and how can we pivot? How can we evolve what we've been doing so that we can try to really catch some victims? So what they're doing is they're sending emails, they're sending texts, they're making phone calls, and they're saying, hey, listen, there's been a lot of changes with this student loan, the debt, and it's going to be canceled. It's not going to be canceled. You need to get into this right here, right now, in order to qualify for the latest and the greatest. And so they want to confuse you, right? They want you to react on the drop of a dime. And that is where the problem is.
And if somebody says, yeah, this sounds really good, that opens the door, Irene, and you know what's coming next.
Exactly. Hey, how about we get started by taking down your personal information? Because before I take your application, I need to confirm that I'm speaking to the right person.
Don't tell me Social Security number.
Oh, yeah.
We have been to this dance before. Mm-hmm. They want the Social Security number, and of course they want name and address. Do they even go so far as to ask for some login information?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
For the government?
Exactly. And again, they're doing this because they're trying to be on your side, per se. Hey, I need to confirm. I need to do my due diligence by making sure that I'm speaking to the right person. So that's how they're trying to, like, you know, get into your, on your good side, if you will. But do not give out that information.
Denise, are they doing some of these phishing emails?
Yes. So they send out those emails asking, as we mentioned, to make sure that you check all the information there and that you say it's correct. And so they, like Irene mentioned, they start telling you, hey, you may qualify for this, but you need to give me this information for me to check first. And so we've had some reports that said that they've been contacted by the student loan department and, you know, trying to, again, verify their information and that they might qualify for the student loan forgiveness under the 2023 guidelines. And so they ask you to call a phone number and they say, hey, call us between this time and this time. Obviously, because the scammers, that's the time that they answer the student loan calls, right?
Yeah.
Anything before that, it's another scam.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the student reached out to their particular lender to verify. And so that's what consumers need to do, is verify with your own lender. Don't call back any number that they leave on that voicemail, because the only one who's picking up is that scammer.
I bet they offer a very enticing plan to reduce or wipe out your loan repayment.
Right. Or they'll take on like very small payments, but then uh-huh. you start making payments and then, you know, a year down the line realize that it doesn't go towards your student loan debt. You've been paying the scammers this whole time.
Okay, ladies, let's give our listeners some red flags. Irene, red flags the consumer should be aware of in this area.
You know, get to know your terms. Be sure to review your information because, again, you know, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, listen, this is what your structure looks like right now. But if you know your terms, you're going to be like, wait, no, that's a red flag. I know what my terms are.
Should you go straight to the government website, Denise?
Yes, definitely go to the federal student aid website. Make sure that the correct lender is reporting on there. And you can communicate with the lender as well from that website or their own website. So give them a call. They have chat features available as well so that you make sure that you're talking to the person that you're supposed to be talking to.
Never pay for a free government program.
Absolutely, correct.
But the scammers, you know, they don't they try to go around the bend here by saying, well, we can do this for you for a fee, but it's free, some of this information anyway.
Correct. Yes. And they do get to, they try to get on your side. They try to provide a lot of information. And sometimes people get overwhelmed. And so, you know, they confuse you and you start giving them your information because it sounds legit. But no, definitely stop, ask questions, or you can just tell them, you know, I can't talk right now, and then go back to the lender and talk to them first.
And the government, Irene, doesn't normally contact you regarding these methods.
That is correct. You know, and so many times you'll get those fictitious emails that say, you know, student loan information and so forth. It is so important to like hover around those bylines just to see where is this coming from. But on top of that, you know what? Open a separate web window. Go onto your website for your particular loan on its own so that you're not even attached to anything, because the email that you're receiving may be, you know, legitimate. But be on the safe side. Just do your own access.
And you be also very careful about social media, because those accounts are being hacked all the time, aren't they, Denise?
Correct. They're hacked, and then they share information. And most of us think, oh, because my friend shared it, it must be true. So you start clicking on those ads or those posts, and then all of a sudden your account gets hacked. And so we want to be very, very careful with the information that we share, especially on social media.
So, Irene, if a consumer believes they've been a victim of a scam, is there somewhere that you would suggest they go?
Absolutely. Please go onto our website, bbb.org/scam tracker. Please make that report. This is how we can get it out to our consumers so that we don't avoid to have the spreading of scams.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the BBB and some of the variety of sources, resources that you have. Denise, share with us a little bit about something called the BBB Spark Leadership Summit.
Yes, so we're super excited about this. It'll be taking place at Casino del Sol on September 20th. It's an all-day event. It's for leadership development. We found that we were having difficulties finding in-person training for someone that we promoted within, and so we created this, and we're very, very excited. We have a keynote speaker that will be flying in, and we have four other speakers that will be talking about communications, how to kick fear in the face, right? Because most of the times we do things, we don't do things out of fear. And so she'll be sharing how to overcome that.
It's a national speaker, right?
Yes, correct.
Irene, Nancy Lyons.
Yes.
And I like that. Kicking fear in the face.
Yes.
And some of your other people on the panel, they've got one gentleman has the 5-minute game changer. I wonder what that's about.
Yes, so it's a 5-minute game changer on team performance, how mm-hmm. to get feedback, how to get, you know, communicate with them in the best way to make sure that they're performing at their ultimate level. And then we have Dr. Paul Melendez, understanding daily bias traps and how to avoid them. Chris Hazen Molina will be talking about mastering communications in the workplace. And then we have Michael Tucker with psychological safety.
This is good. This is a new event for the BBB, and it's called Spark, the Spark Leadership Summit. That event will take place September the 20th, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is an all-day affair at Casino del Sol. Do people need to register, ladies?
Yes, please visit bbb.org, and you'll find all of the information there.
So much information is available at that website. Anything else going on, Irene, that you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Our monthly networking mixer. Do not forget about that. That's going to be the fourth Thursday of this month, July 27th, at Playground Downtown.
That's going to be from 5 to 7. These are free events, correct, Denise?
Yes. They're free events. You can come and network. There's appetizers. We have a pretty good turnout, so please stop by. You don't have to be a member or an accredited business with us. We just want to help you connect.
Well, networking does make a difference, and it can change the way folks look at their particular business, because they're going to learn some things from other small business leaders.
Absolutely.
All right. Ladies, thank you very much. And again, the website?
BBB.org.
And everything you need is right there. Hope you two have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Coming up next, Dr. Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute joins us. It's Buckmaster in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for Marketplace Trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
For more talk that makes you think, listen to my show, The Dennis Prager Show, this afternoon from 4 to 6 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Well, if there was ever a time to take that three-hour road trip over to Silver City to cool off, this is the time. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where I like to say it's going to be cooler, at least 10 degrees cooler. It's warm there today, but not like Tucson, but upper 90s. So while we're expecting to go to 112 or so, so you're going to have cooler temperatures because of the elevation, almost 6,000 feet. That's going to make a difference, especially for very pleasant evenings. And that's something this July here in Tucson that's really been missing. It just doesn't and hasn't this July cooled off as it typically does in Tucson in the summer at night. Just doesn't happen. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for more information about what to do where to stay, and even some great places to dine as well in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. For his monthly visit, let's go now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dr. Mark Sykes, who heads up, he's the CEO, he's the top guy at the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute for more than half a century. This fine organization based right here in Tucson, really everything you need to know about looking to outer space. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Oh, just great, Bill.
This is a time when the House and the Senate appropriations are looking at the budget for NASA. And I know you're actually going to be departing for D.C., I think, tomorrow. And this is going to be kind of your top priority, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. There's a lot of things going on, and NASA has some challenges because, not totally unexpectedly, you know, the budget's not going to go up a lot. It's going to go down a little bit. And but when you have large projects like Mars Sample Return, Artemis, and such, that need much more money than they're even budgeting, and running into all kinds of cost overruns, then this presents a difficulty. And so the Senate released its appropriations bill last week, and they basically say for like the Mars Sample Return thing that they're capping it at $5.3 billion. If they go over it, then they cancel it, and which is not unreasonable. The problem with some of these large projects, or many of these large projects, is that there's a lot of volatility in the cost. And unfortunately, and this is one of the things I'm going to be talking to legislators about, that when there's volatility in the cost, Mars Sample Return is burning through an extra $1 billion that wasn't accounted for, then they can only deal with it through cannibalism, you know, of other programs, which just spreads damage across a lot of programs and actually ends up costing taxpayers even more money because things get delayed, things have to be restored, and it's a mess.
So the House and Senate spending bills, Mark, are prioritizing funding for NASA's kind of their exploration programs, their sort of marquee programs, at the expense of some very important science programs. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, NASA budget's been going up significantly in recent years because of trying to send people back to the moon and trying to do this Mars Sample Return thing. And the problem is that there's been a lot of pressure to, you know, not increase government spending, which is difficult when you're doing these kinds of programs. And but also the spending on these programs have been going up a lot higher, a lot faster than was planned. And so there's all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of problems, and yes, it threatens a lot of NASA's priority science programs as a consequence. Because where else can you get the money? Go ahead.
I want to point out that one of your senior scientist emeritus is going to be really honored, I think, tomorrow with a top NASA award.
Bill Feldman is going to be given the Shoemaker Medal. We're doing it remotely from Tucson. The NASA Exploration Forum is going on in College Park, Maryland, but Bill's here in Tucson, or came over here to Tucson, and I'll be putting on the medal on him when they're reading the citation stuff. And Bill's really quite a great guy. He spent a lot of his career at Los Alamos National Lab. Then he spent a chunk of time down here at PSI. And over the course of his career, he invented one of the three ways to measure the mass of a neutron.
Hmm.
He's basically the father of planetary neutron and gamma ray spectroscopy.
Wow.
And he's the person who discovered ice on the moon from one of these instruments where it detected in these permanently shadowed craters that are very cold at the poles of the moon that there was evidence for ice, you know, underneath the surface.
Wow.
And so that was a big surprise discovery and is why we're sending people to the South Pole of the moon as opposed to some other place that's easier to get to, is because, you know, there's supposed to be ice up there. And if you want to stick around, it's nice to have a water supply to shave and shower and stuff.
There you go. Well, it is a big deal, and please give him our congratulations, Bill Feldman. The Shoemaker Medal, that is a very big deal in your industry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a great honor, and it's well-deserved. And I'll say another thing about Bill is that for a person who is as prominent as he is, that he's always been very self-effacing. He's always been very supportive of, you know, young people's research and work and helpful. And he's been a great guy to have around.
Before we let you go, Mark, evidence of new volcanic process on the moon discovered right at PSI.
Right, right. Volcanism on the moon has been like when the Mare were formed, big impacts and lava comes out and kind of spreads around through cracks and things. And but what Matt Siegler and Zhang Qingfeng discovered was a fairly large, ancient, like 3.5 billion years ago, volcano where the magma was coming up from deep in the lunar interior, forming a volcano that was about 20 miles wide. And they detected it because that material coming up from the deep interior of the moon is more radioactive than the lavas and stuff that came from, you know, closer to the surface, and so they were able to measure the remnants of this plume that came up. So it's it's nothing that has ever been seen before. So pretty cool.
We got a lot
active today.
You have a lot of scientists that work really from remote locations that are part of the Planetary Science Institute family that are working really all over the world on these really cool things. And how large is your portfolio right now of people working?
Well, we've got when I first came here, we had about 12 scientists, PhDs. And about similar number of support staff. And today we have 120, over 120 PhDs and about net 180 people with all the support staff stuff included. Yeah, we're in 30 states now. We're locations around the world. But even though we're highly distributed, we are very, very much a sense of a community. You know, we support each other. We help each other out. There's lots of communication going on. Back in 2007, I think it was, Nature Magazine said that we were the pioneers of this kind of distributed work. So, yeah, it's been very successful.
And people can support you. I do through donations. PSI.edu is your fine website. A lot of good information up there, and we hope the community will continue to support you, Dr. Mark Sykes. Mark, we'll look forward to your visit with us in the month of August. Where is this year gone? I'll tell you.
Oh, gosh, really? Oh, and in August, we'll have our retreat at the beginning of the month here in Tucson.
There you go.
Hacienda del Sol. And I mean, what better time to come to Tucson?
All right, Mark, thank you very much. Safe travels to you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, wishing everybody a very pleasant afternoon. Take it easy.